Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Scott, that baby has kind of looked a little bit like you there, all that dark hair and all that stuff. Let me look at you and see who's here. All right. We need some heavy repentance in this room. I can see right now by the people that are here. I probably do. I started before I start doing working on the Christmas theme here. I'm staunch. I keep telling Carol, we keep driving around looking thing. I keep saying yes, it's not even Thanksgiving yet, and we're talking about Christmas already, you know. But I've been kind of dragging my feet about all this stuff, but I can't because we have things to prepare for and things to do. But anyway. We've looked the last week, and then I answered another question earlier. But I'm doing a series right now based on the questions that you guys wrote. Remember the pieces of paper that I handed out, and I just asked you, write some questions, the things that concern you, or the things that you'd like to hear somebody address or talk to. So I'm doing that. But today I want to hear from you a little bit more around this, and I had a good question, and this deals with just the topic of prayer. It deals with the issue of prayer. And here was the question that was asked to me. Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? And so what I thought, I'm going to just give you a chance to share. We tried the wireless mic, and it beeped at us or bumped at us and all kinds of stuff. So the reason it's important that you use the mic, remember, is because that gets on our recording then. We don't just have this big old blank spot here. But I'd like to hear from you. I'd like you to come up, whoever would like to just kind of share what you're feeling or what your response is to that question. What do you feel about that question, Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? Or how does that question affect you? So please come. Yeah, Ed? Now, I'm not asking you to preach a whole sermon, although, I got a whole church full of people like that. Go ahead, Ed.
Personally, is there a right or a wrong way? I don't believe so, really. I mean, I think as long as it's heartfelt and it's in harmony with the scriptures, I mean, you're not asking for anything. Like, I want to be rich, help me to be rich, help me to,
Is that a wrong prayer?
Well, if you're asking to be rich to help, the needy, I guess that would be okay.
I'm just asking.
But I think, again, as long as it's heartfelt and in harmony with the scriptures, pray to be a better person, a better man, better woman, brother, sister, an encouragement to one another. That's
okay.
That's it in a
Good.
Nutshell, I guess.
Thanks for getting up here. Somebody else. Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? Or what does that question sort of bring forth in your heart when you even hear the question? It might be that you want to try to answer the question or just kind of talk about the idea of prayer. Oh, you're going to come back up. Now you got the taste of the microphone and being in front of people, Calvin.
I don't know about the answer, whether right or wrong way to pray, but one thing that this kind of brings to my attention is through reading of the Psalms is kind of a prayer book, kind of teaches us to pray. And so what I've learned through that is that it's not always what might be on our hearts. It's not always that we need to pray for what we need or what we want, but through the reading of the Psalms, it's kind of like God is teaching us to pray for what, He might want to put on our heart. So kind of letting the Holy Spirit guide you in that.
Thank you. Calvin's one of the guys that comes on Tuesday mornings, men and women, Tuesday morning at 5:30 in the morning. The guys gather in here, the gals gather upstairs up there, and they read. We read Psalms. That's a prayer discipline that we have here. We read it together. And we understand the Psalms are corporate activities, but they are a school of prayer. The Psalms are a school of prayer. Yes, Catherine.
Yes, lower. Thank you.
How about that?
That'll work. When I'm with the kids and they ask about teaching, about how to pray, I tell them there is no wrong way to pray as long as you believe in what you're praying for and as long as you're praying in faith. You have to have faith behind your prayer, and you should be specific because God, he's everything, and he can read everything in your mind. And if you don't pray for a specific thing, for what you want that healing, you want the cancer to be out of somebody's body, you pray for that. You don't go, I want to pray for your will. He's got so much will. He wants all of us to be home with him. That's what he wants. He wants us all to be home. So pray for what you want. Pray for what you need and be specific. When I was homeless, I prayed for a home. I didn't pray for your will, God. I prayed for a home, and I got it. I was grateful for the car that I lived in. I was grateful for having my children with me. I am grateful for the ground I stand on. I'm grateful for the boxes of food that have shown up on my doorstep when I was out of a job and when I didn't have a paycheck. But I prayed for all of those specifically, and I had the faith that God would provide for me. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Somebody else. You don't have to be as articulate as that, but yeah, come on up, Daniel, and just sit down over here. Share with us about that question or whatever is on your heart here.
That's a question that's kind of bothered me off and on, and I used to worry whether I was praying right. And mostly when I pray, I write it out because that just helps keep me focused on instead of praying and then suddenly finding myself daydreaming about something else. And I don't really worry about it anymore because I think it's a relationship that I have with Jesus and God. And I think to pray, even if it's not right, is better than not praying. And I can just say that over the years I've been doing this, it's changed my life. So I kind of think that maybe there isn't a wrong way to pray.
Thank you. I like that, and I like the fact that you said, you know, I used to worry about it. And we had somebody in the previous service that said that too. They said, I used to worry about that, so it made me intimidated about praying. I wouldn't pray then that way, or I was afraid to pray because I was afraid I'd be doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you're the only person that feels that way. I was glad that, or that felt that way at one time. And I'm going to ask you another question. Is like, do you think that your prayers are different now than they were when you first became a believer?
Oh yeah.
So you grow in prayer. Yes. I mean, you know, when you start
you
praying,
grow. You definitely grow. And it's like a friendship. You know, do you worry about how you talk with your friends? Like, am I saying this right? Am I saying it in the right order? No, we don't worry about that. So why should we worry about that when we're talking with God?
I like that. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I gotta raise that way up.
Kind of going off your last comment, Chris, like your friendship with God. I think one aspect of prayer that we forget is, or one aspect of God that we forget is that he's also a person. And he's a person in our lives. And I kind of imagine, like, sitting, say, at Starbucks and say, God is right across from me. And let's say the prayer is my exchange of words to him. And I'm just praying, laying all these things out, all my needs, all my desires. And then sometimes prayer for me is like, okay, amen. All right, thanks for listening, God. And then take off. I think we forget that another aspect of prayer is listening to God, too. It's like, you know, you pray all your prayer, you pray your needs, your desires, and then sit and listen to him also, which is very much a part of prayer. And one thing that I know I forget about, and I know that we all forget about too, but it's also a very important part of our prayer life too, I think.
So. Thank you. Thank you. Sarah?
What I've kind of thought is the whole example of us with our children. And, like, we would want our children to come to us, and we'd want them to tell us everything and be open and honest with us. And I think we forget who we're talking to. We're talking to our Father. And to come boldly before Him and to be honest. And I think that when I pray, I just try to remember that. And to pray with power as well, because whose power we take, you know, what power comes through us is Christ. And so when we come before Him and we ask for something, we can be confident and bold. So that's how I try to pray, just remembering who I'm talking to, and it's our Father.
God is Father. Hmm. I'm not sure all parents want their children to come to them and be totally honest. My brother came to my mother and he said, "I use drugs." And my mother said, "No, don't tell me that." You know. Sick, huh? Anybody else? Yeah, both of you. Come on. Lindsay, she's new to us here. Welcome, Lindsay, would you?
I'm not very good in front of people, so forgive me. I used to worry all the time of whether or not I was praying correctly or if God was just sick of hearing from me. And a couple weeks ago, I heard my son, who's 7, excuse me.
It's all right.
Talking in his room, and he had lost a pet. And I go in there and I ask him, "Mitchell, who are you talking to?" And he says, "Mom, I'm talking to God." And I said, "I thought you were talking to a friend." And he goes, "But he is our friend." Sorry.
All right.
Nervous. So that's when I realized that no matter how much I need him or when I need him, I can pray to God. And whether it's right or wrong, he's eventually going to let me know. So, yeah. I've learned the best thing from a 7-year-old.
That's right. Thank you, Lizzie. Yeah. Kevin?
I guess you kind of got to define what prayer is a little bit before you say, is it right or is it wrong? And prayer to me is communication between God and you. It's a dialogue. So I don't think there's a wrong way to pray to God, because you talk to Him in your good times and your bad times, your sad times, your even your angry times, and He wants you to talk to Him. So I don't think there's a wrong way to pray, but maybe you need to make sure you're praying to the right person and not the enemy. And sometimes people get caught up in praying to the wrong person. So that's my thought.
All right, thank you. I walked into a hospital room one time of a gal that had struggled with, she's an asthmatic, and she'd struggled with very, very severe asthma and been in the hospital many times. Over her asthmatic attacks. And I remember going in to see her, and she was a good friend of mine, and she looked at me when I walked in the room, and she started crying with tears of anger, you know, tears of anger. It wasn't just like the kind of tears we've seen here, but they were tears of anger. She looked at me and she said, "I'm so mad at God. I'm mad at Him." And I said, "You can tell Him that, you know. It's okay. He already knows." And she just looked like that was some revelation, you know, that I, you know, that she could tell God that I'm mad, I'm angry. I mean, He can take it, you know. He can take it. Lightning bolts won't come out of heaven, you know, on you. And in fact, I think that that's the process of real cleansing and healing, when you're able to articulate what's really inside here, you know, about your relationship with God. Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? Also, one of the things that sort of became clear while I've been having people come up and kind of share is that prayer is also a journey. There's a journey with prayers. Where we may start, you know, as a child, my first prayers were prayers that I was taught to pray. And my first prayers were sort of like rote prayers. It was like I learned to pray words because they were prayers. I didn't know I could just gravitate away from them and just talk to God. I just thought praying prayers was praying prayers. You know, I mean, I had a whole list of prayers that I was taught, and so I would pray those. praying my prayers, and kind of thing. I began there, but even that is not incorrect because it has a way of working its way in you. And I, a little bit later, when I get to the idea that prayer is learned, I would say that Jesus probably learned prayer in that way as well. Because the Psalms was the prayer book of Israel. I don't know if you know, but most of when Jesus was dying on the cross, most of the prayers or the words that came, his prayers came from the Psalms. The Psalms is the most quoted book in the New Testament, the prayer book of Israel. That's kind of interesting. I had a pastor the other day. I was at our ministerial meeting, and we were talking about the week of prayer for church unity. And the tradition is we have 8 days of going around to different churches, all these eight different churches. We would travel to this church on this night, and we hold a service, and then we go to the next service and hold a service. All the services are different, you know. I mean, that's the idea. We're going to churches that are different, and we're worshiping with them, we're sharing with them, we're praying for them. And this particular pastor said, yeah, he said, that's an okay thing. He said, but there's not much prayer that goes on. And what he meant by that was sort of this exclusive idea of prayer, is that prayer would look like to him if we got on our knees and really got serious and, you know, and we started all talking to God together. But I was able to respond and say, you know, just the fact that people would go out of their way on those 8 nights. I mean, there's a lot of other things we could be doing, but on those 8 nights, we'll travel from one church to another and gather together to offer worship and to listen to the different aspects of worship that happen in different churches. Just the fact that we would get up and go was a prayer in itself. Whether we were spending the whole time articulating words, saying, speaking words to God, just the activity of going and being there was a prayer. You've got to realize that, you know, is that when you come to church, and for some of you it's not easy, and especially there are times when you're on your way to church and you go, why am I doing this today? You know, what am I doing this for? But just the activity of getting here is a prayer. It's a prayer. All right, so, you know, I don't know that this, when I was sharing what I was sharing with you, when I was sharing the first service like this, I said, this really isn't like a 3-point sermon. It's not points that build, but it's just some thoughts around prayer that I want to sort of give to you today. You've already heard some thoughts about prayer, and I want to share a few with you as well, just to sort of set some groundwork or give you some foundation from which to sort of grow from, again, to acknowledge some of the things that are going on in your life. And that is, so first of all, the word prayer should be transformed to this idea. Prayer is relationship. Would you all say that word with me? Relationship. Prayer is relationship. That's what it is. Prayer is about relationship. It's not about getting things. It's not about getting things done even. Now, the outside of that is that sometimes things do get done out of prayer. But the fact is, God didn't give us prayer to get things done, to get things accomplished. Prayer is about relationship. Now, one of the problems that we have in our culture is that we have competing deities. We use the same word for it, but they're competing all the time. When some people are talking about God, when you get underneath what they're talking about, you know they're not talking about the same thing that you are. I was thinking that Shirley MacLaine, is that the one, you know, Shirley MacLaine, sometimes she's been on the Oprah show and stuff, and people interview her. In fact, I just saw her in an interview just recently. And she, you know, and a lot of the people that come from that sort of model, when they use the word God, they are not talking about a personal God. They are talking about a force, an energy, some kind of it that if we can just learn, it's almost like witchcraft. You know, most Wiccans don't really believe in the devil. What they believe is some kind of power out there that they're learning how to manipulate, how to control. If we just say the right incantations, if we just do the right thing, we can get things done. And unfortunately, a lot of people view prayer in that way. And the God that we think about is like the God that many people think about outside of the Christian church, and sometimes it seeps its way into the Christian church, is some kind of force or energy, almost like the force of Star Wars, may the force be with you kind of thing. And we learn how to, you know, get into that force and so that we can get things done, get things accomplished, our lives can be blessed and all of this kind of stuff. And so the first thing is that we have to realize about prayer is we're not talking about magic incantations. We're not talking about using the right words at the right time. We're talking about relationship. Everybody say that word again, relationship. Relationship. And the thing about it is that then the God that this book reveals to us, the God that came to earth 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ, was a person, and he is a person. So one thing that, Kevin, I think you said that, and somebody else said that, God is a personal being. The first definition of God I learned as a child was God is the supreme being. But God is personal. He's not some it. He's got a will. He's got desires. He's taught us to relate to Him as Father. But the first thing to understand about prayer really is that we aren't talking to some force, some energy, some power out there and just learning how to manipulate and get it to work. Can't manipulate God anyhow. He's a person. The first thing we need to learn about prayer is who we're talking to. A person. A person. So God is a personal being. This particular passage of Scripture from Isaiah, it kind of takes us into that, but I'm just going to keep moving here because I wanted to remind you something, is that the very reason we were created was we were created for relationship. You kind of got to get, you know, we kind of got to get beyond the words a little bit and start, you know, grasping the idea of what makes human beings up. And here's what the Scripture says. First of all, it says that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. This is Genesis 1:26. Male and female, He created them. Now, I don't know if you've ever really thought about, well, why were we created male and female? He didn't have to do it this way. He could have created us asexual, completely. You know, I mean, like some, there are a couple of things in creation that are like that, that don't need another partner to have children. But we have been given the gift and sometimes the pain of having to go around and find a mate who will cooperate with us. That means relationship, you know. It means we have to search, we have to find somebody and then come together in order to procreate so the race can continue. I mean, that's the thing. You got to think about that for a moment. Why did God create us like that? I mean, you know, I mean, why didn't He just create like me? It's time to have a baby. Okay, I'm going to have a baby now. I'm going to raise a baby. I mean, do that. Why did He create us in such a way where we have to go and seek somebody out and get him to cooperate with us so that we can have children and procreate? Why did He give us a mouth that can speak words? That we can tell what's going on inside of us and share that with another person. Relationship. God created us in His image. And when we start getting underneath that, start realizing what we were created for, relationship. We are relational beings. Created us male and female. And He created us not only to relate to one another, but to relate to Him. He created us for relationship. Now, He has a high purpose in that. You know, it wasn't like God was lonely and I want somebody to relate to. Actually, that is really not biblical, but it goes way beyond what the time that we have to talk about today. But God didn't create us because He was lonely. But on the other hand, He did create us as relational beings in His image. And prayer, the first thing about prayer that we got to get straight is prayer is not about getting things done or getting God to do things for us or, you know, getting or changing the world or changing our world or changing our lives. The reality is prayer, first of all, is relationship. What's so funny is one of the key passages of Scripture, the key things that took place in Jesus' life when he was here, as you remember the day he walked into the temple and they were buying and selling all these sheep and oxen and they were exchanging money and doing all this stuff. And it made Jesus so mad. He made a whip and he drove them out of the temple. Remember that? And he said, "Don't make my Father's house a den of thieves. For it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Now you got to stop for a moment because this was the church of his time. He's in the church of his time. And he was saying, you guys are missing it. You got church, you got all kinds of religious activity going on, but you've missed the point. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. Now, when he drove them all out, did he get everybody on their knees and they start? No. He started teaching. He started ministering. And people gathered in there. But the focus now shifted from getting religious activity done to relating to God, which is the idea of prayer. See, prayer is about relating to God. I'm huge on the Psalms. I'm kind of stealing this from one of my guys. But, you know, years ago when I went through my own crisis, my prayer life just changed. Because all of a sudden I found myself not being able to pray. I found myself not having any words to speak to God. And I remembered in the back of my mind that one of the books that I'd read from Eugene Peterson, he said, the Psalms are our prayer book. They teach us to pray. And all through the history of the church, men and women have used the Psalms as their prayers. And so I determined right there that I was going to pick up the ancient practice that happens. The monks did it. I mean, you know, the Jews did it, using the Psalms as my prayer book. And so I made a commitment. I'm going to read 10 Psalms a day, you know. So I'll read 1 through 10 today, and the next day I'll read 20 through 30, and the next day I'll read, you know, 30 through 40, and just like that. And systematically, you know, and that began to transform my prayer life. Because I'd find myself reading Psalms. I think it was, who was it was alluding to that idea of the Psalms? It wasn't you. It was somebody in the back there. Calvin, because Calvin comes to our Psalms reading. And that's the thing, is that I don't just read the ones I like or the ones that speak to me, you know. I'm reading ones and kill their children, you know, make sure they're good and dead and get their relatives too. You know, I'm going, why am I reading this today, you know? But, you know, I mean, it's like I'm relating to prayers and I'm listening for God. And it's drawing me into God rather than me trying to get God into me. Psalms are good for that. It's about relationship. Here's another thought, okay? You know, I mean, about prayer. Prayer is always a response. Our speech to God is always responsive speech. Think about this. It's always responsive speech. It means that we don't have some kind of God that's out there like sitting on some throne somewhere just going about his business. And then we're knocking on the door of heaven and saying, hey, I'm here. I want you to pay attention to me for a minute. I got some needs going on or this or that. You know, prayer doesn't begin with us. Prayer begins with God. And God is the first one who has spoken. Prayer is always a response. Think about this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. Now listen now. And God said, everybody say that. And God said, he spoke. There was absolutely nothing. And God spoke, "Let there be light." From then on, everything is a response to God. From then on, everything is a response to Him. He spoke. He initiated. A little farther down, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." God's always speaking. And everything that happens after that is responding to His voice. We're responding to Him. So prayer is responsive speech. We're not trying to get God's attention. We're not trying to say, "Listen, I want you to pay attention to my life," or "Would you please love me?" Or "Would you," you know, I mean, it's like He is already speaking. He's already reaching out to us. He knows everything about you, and He's speaking to you. I particularly like this thought here, and I don't know if you've really thought about it much, but so God spoke with Adam and Eve in this garden. Of course, you know they sinned in the garden. And they heard God walking in the garden. What did they do? They went and hid. Do you think that that is the human condition? I mean, beyond the story itself, don't you think that's kind of the human condition? Hiding. But what did God do? You know the next words after they hid? "And God said." Y'all remember what He said? He said what? No, He didn't say, "Don't be afraid." He didn't say that. What did He say? I didn't hear you back there, B. Did you say something? What did He say? No, He didn't say that yet. He did say that. He did ask that question later on, just a moment. What did He say? What was the first thing He said, which He's still saying to us now? "Where are you? Where are you?" Think about it. Where are you? God is seeking us. Where are you? See, prayer is responsive speech. The question that was given was, is there a right or a wrong way to pray? I suppose if there is a wrong way to pray, it's the next line. "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, so I hid." "Have you eaten of the fruit of the tree?" God spoke again. "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" What was His response? "That woman who you gave me, she did it." There's that right there. That's hiding, but it's hiding in another way, and it's what we all do: make excuses, you know, pass the blame, all of that kind of stuff, and that can become our prayer. God says, "Where are you?" "I'm right here. I'm waiting for you. I'm talking to you." Or we can usually respond like, "Well, God, you know, it's really hard here, you know, and that person over there makes it really bad. Or the reason I'm so mad is because that person made me mad. Or this or that." And all God wants, really, is honesty. You know, the word for confession is simply to acknowledge the truth. That's what that means. To confess is to acknowledge the truth, which is not what Adam did. His first prayer back to God was, "I didn't do it. Wasn't me. Wasn't my fault." Interesting. I like this. I mean, I like this because this changes sort of the context of prayer. You know, it's like I'm going through a problem. Does God know about prayer? He's already spoken. Prayer is our response to Him. Might be a response of trust. It might be a response of lack of faith. It might be an angry response because, doggone it, I've been in this place again and again and again, and God, why aren't you hearing me? I'm so mad at you. God can deal with that. Thing that almost is the impossible thing to deal with is the person says, "Oh, I don't care. Doesn't matter. I got my own life. You just stay away. He calls to us. So prayer is relationship with God. And I'm working through my little bleepers here. And the third thing I want to say about prayer is it's learned. And the whole idea of prayer being a response is and relationship is that it connects with this idea that prayer is learned. Think about this. Language itself, which is relationship. How did you learn to talk? Huh? Mimic. Think about it. I mean, we can't even remember how we learned to talk. We come into the world and we're hearing human voices. You know, there was a time when we heard human voices muffled, kind of through the womb. And all of a sudden we're thrust into this world and we're hearing voices talk. That first order language, we understand that they can't speak, but we still use language. We're using language around them all the time. And then sometimes we would even speak with just sounds. Oh. Baby, baby, baby. You know, I mean, things that don't even make sense, but we would make noises with them, you know, to try to comfort them, to get across. But sooner or later, we're using words. And next thing you know, that child looks up at you and begins to put words together, a sound together with a person. Mama. Poor dads, you know, they're always going, why do they always say their name first, you know? Daddy, daddy. My kids would look at me and they'd look over here and say, Mama. Dad, Mama. Mama got the milk. Now little Saraya, Josh's little one, you know, I look at her and I say, I'm Grandpa. She says, Grandma. I say, Grandpa. And she smiles and she says, Grandma. But think about the process of learning language, of learning to communicate, of learning relationship. And we started with simple things, that whole growth thing. You know, we started with objects. Usually it's objects. We can't get the ideas of I'm going to the store today or things that, the kind of language that maybe is not objective, that like, I love you. I mean, you know, how do you really, you're not talking about a thing anymore. You're not talking about an object. You're talking about a feeling that's inside of another person. The language, you know, that communicates that whole relational thing that develops. But, you know, just like you learn to talk in that way, so we learn to respond to God in that same way. Some of my early prayers were just like what a parent would hear from a baby when they're making their first noises, and they may not have been really appropriate. It may not have been, you know, the best. They couldn't put things together and that whole thing, but we were just thrilled that they were making the sounds. And prayers learned like that too. I had some young gal, she was in high school, come up to me between the services and she was in tears. How do I know God speaks to me? Prayer is learned. Now, Jesus, how do you think through the process of how Jesus learned prayer? I'm going to tell you that Jesus learned prayer by the Psalms. Because when their family went to synagogue, part of that service was they sang the Psalms together. You know, who was it who said you wrote your prayers? The Psalms. Are those good prayers? They were written. They were even thought about. Psalms 119 is an acrostic built on the Hebrew alphabet. 22 letters in that Hebrew alphabet, and every one of them, it starts out with the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and then the next eight verses, eight thoughts come. All of them begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then you come to the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And now you've got eight more verses that all begin with that second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. And it's put in a book that's called our praise book, our prayer book. Somebody thought about that. There was something that, and they articulated it in terms of poetry as well. Who doesn't love, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Just because it was written doesn't mean it's not valid and it's not a prayer. So now we begin to expand our ideas of prayer. We can learn prayer. And what we prayed for when we first started as a child, if we continue to walk with God, you know, those things change. The same thing if you become a Christian as an adult, you start taking seriously your relationship with God. You know, and then you start entering into that relationship. You start learning God speaking to me, I'm speaking to Him. I mean, we have this relationship that's growing. In Luke chapter 11 or in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, this took place in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was teaching a sermon. Nobody asked him any question that we know about that, but he's teaching this sermon with all these, I mean, it's the best sermon in all of the New Testament. You know, it was longer than mine, by the way. But he taught them to pray. When you pray, pray in this way. He taught them some principles around it, and then he taught them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And then in Luke chapter 6, that prayer is recorded again. It's a little more condensed version, but it's recorded again. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said these words, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "When you pray, pray these words." He taught them the Lord's Prayer. Now, what I'm going to have to assume is that here it's found in the Scripture in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. It's found in answer to the disciples' question, asking him, "Teach us to pray." I'm guessing that Jesus probably taught that prayer more than once. And I think, you know, it's a shame that in many of our Protestant churches, we've forgotten how to teach people to pray that prayer. And I think it's a great place to start, and it's probably a great place to end. I mean, I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I've been to prayer seminars, you know, and I've been walking with God for a long time. But it's one of the most dear prayers to my heart, because it includes so much of relationship with God, which is why it was given. I don't think it was given to so much give us the exact words to pray all the time. Every time you pray these exact words, although there'd be nothing wrong with that. But I think it was given to sort of expand our ideas. You know, I can remember I was walking down the street on a walk one day, and I needed some words, and I started praying the Lord's Prayer. And I got to the part of forgiveness. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And I just stopped right there. I thought, oh my gosh, really? Forgive me the way I forgive others? Really? See, it's like a whole outline for Christian life. If you don't know anything else, you know the Lord's Prayer. I'm guarantee you, you're stepping in a good path to walk with God. In fact, I'm trying to get to where I want to get, and then I'm going to have you pray that with me. So I want you to pray that prayer with me. You can, if you know it, you can say it with me. If you don't know it, it's up there on the wall. Let's pray together. Say it slowly. Don't say it liturgically. I was in a Curcio weekend with a whole bunch of Episcopalians were there. You know, they pray this every time during the Mass. You know, during their Eucharist service, they'd pray this prayer as part of the service. So when it came time to pray that prayer, you know, they started praying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." They started saying it like that, and I stopped. I said, "Stop! Let's slow it down." And we slowed it down and we began to say, and I saw their eyes just got big, like, "Is that what I've been praying?" Say it with me. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. So, prayer is a relationship. It's about relationship with God. Not about praying prayers. It's a relationship with God. It's what we were created for. We were created for a relationship with God and one another. And God has invited us into that relationship. It's a crazy thing that we can have a church service. You can have a church service where people talk about God all the time and still not be in relationship with God. The book I'm reading about why people don't go to church anymore, you know, they've got a category now, a new category, PIBOs. P-I-B-O. Present in body only. None of you are like that, right? Present in body only. God doesn't just want our body sitting here going, "Oh, let's get through this because I got stuff to do." God is looking for a relationship with us, and He has spoken and invited us into relationship. Prayer is the word. It's the catchword that describes that. House of prayer. Relationship with God. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is a response. You don't have to get God to pay attention to you. You don't have to get God to speak to you. He is already speaking. He has already spoken, and our prayer is a response. One of those responses will be, we can do it this week because this is Thanksgiving. We finally get to give Thanksgiving, right? We get to give thanks. I do it. I do it. I can sit down and pray over a meal, and I can stop at the end of that and go, "Was I really praying or did I just say words?" Sometimes I just say the words. And then I go, "Oh, I'm sorry." So prayer is a relationship. Prayer is that response to God. It's when He has spoken and we're responding, "Yes, God." That's a wonderful response. "Yes." Instead of "no" or "I'll think about it" or "what, you know what I mean?" "Yes, God." Those are our responses. Our responses. And then finally, prayer is learned, and probably a good place to learn prayer. And you may not be able to pray like, I mean, I've been to some places where, I mean, people, they can just, the minute they turn it on, it's like all these words are coming and tumbling out. They're using great words, and it sounds so spiritual. And I've lived my spiritual life trying to get through that kind of stuff and make spiritual life available to everyday people in everyday language. That's one of my pet models, you know, for who I am. Is I'm trying to get past just being religious and get people to bring real spirituality into real everyday life. But I like the Lord's Prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you don't use it very often, maybe that's a good place to start, to take your prayer life in another direction or a new place. And you can stop at any point in that prayer, you know, and think about what's happening there. You can even do what I did, go, oh, God, is that really true? I don't do that. I mean, I don't want you to forgive me like I forgive other people, or I got a lot of stuff to deal with right now. This is not a complete, I mean, you know, we could spend a year talking about prayer, the different kinds of prayer, the idea of faith that Catherine brought up, you know, prayer in faith, that kind of thing, praying specifically, those kinds of ideas. I mean, they all belong under this umbrella called prayer. But that question was a powerful question because I know that many people feel really inadequate when it comes to prayer. And so they just don't. But I guess I'd like to encourage you to use the prayer that Jesus gave us. Start there. And let that become kind of your starting point, the place you begin. And remember, you don't have to. He's right there just waiting for your response. He's already spoken. And he continues to speak. He's just waiting for you to respond. Let's stand together and pray. Relationship with you. Lord, what an incredible thing that we, in this little corner of the universe here, were created by you and invited into relationship with you. Lord, I can't do what only you can do in a human heart. I can't do that. But I can sure invite people to open their hearts to you and to desire relationship with you. So I pray, Lord, as you are speaking to your people here and to each one, you have a different word, you have a thought, you have something that comes from your heart to them. I pray that their ears will be open, that we won't be like those people in Scripture where you talk about those who have ears but don't hear and those who have eyes but don't see. God, open our eyes and open our ears to your voice. I pray that you just bless your people here today, that you fill them with the knowledge of your love for them, and that as we step out of this place into the world, that we don't leave you behind, but that we realize that you are just waiting for us out there. Wherever we go, you are waiting there for us. You've already gone there, and you are speaking to us. Bless each one now in this room. Deepen our relationship with you. And take the words that they've heard today about this gift of prayer and let it grow in them. In Jesus' name, amen.